Blog Talk Radio.
Co-host and my partner in crime, Drinks on Russ in the building. What's good, Russ?
What the deal? I'm in the building. What's up with you, Stu? How you doing, B?
I'm doing real good, man. Real good on a Monday, man. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of snow, you know what I mean? But it's all good, man. Look, you know how New York's been getting a lot of snow lately. You know what I'm saying, Russ?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of snow. We've been getting a lot of snow and everything like that, man. But tell the people what we're going to be doing tonight, man. Tell us what we got tonight, man. We got a lot going on, man. We ain't come on in a couple of days because they was moving the studio from the east to the west.
No doubt.
Looking nice and everything, B. But it's all good, B. But tell the people what's going on tonight, man, on tonight's show, man.
Well, we got a lot of things going on tonight's show. We always got the drinks. My man Drinks on Russ always got the hottest drinks that you get at the clubs, you know, and tell you what's popping and what's not popping and what's going to be popping for the weekend.
Hold up one minute, Stu, because we're going to do a little flip tonight with the Drinks on Russ. We're going to do a little flip tonight. And what I mean about the little flip tonight, we may not do alcohol drinks tonight. We may do some non-alcohol banana berry smoothies tonight. You understand what I'm saying? Because,
yeah.
You know, we got to stay healthy, too. You know, you got to drink your water and everything. But go on. I'm sorry to cut you off, but go on.
And not only that, but in the building right now, we have a very, very special guest, man. The homie definitely been like a celebrity bodyguard for some of the greatest, man. I'm talking about Pamela Anderson. I'm talking about Diddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about 50 Cent. Busta Rhymes. I mean, I can name it. We're going to let him talk. My man, Brother Tim, is in the building. What's good, famo?
Who's in the building, Priest?
My man, Brother Tim, is in the building.
What's good, gentlemen? What's good? How you doing, man? It's a blessing. It's
man,
a blessing.
Welcome to
Thanks
the show, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, man. You know what I'm saying? We know you got the book and a lot of things going on, so definitely was glad you got here to build with us. But the first thing I want to get at you is like, yo, how, you know, what made you become a bodyguard? How did you get into that?
Man, that's actually a good story because at the age of 17 years old, I was about 6'1", 310 pounds. I was playing football. I was big. I was young. I was strong. I was aggressive. And I'd been in martial arts since I was a kid. So to me, it was nothing. But nobody knew how young I was. And I actually started working with a company. It was a group of bouncers, good brothers, who I still speak to, most of them, not all of them. And we would get in my truck. I had a Ford Explorer back in the day. I had two big old 15-inch subwoofers in the back with a Hi-Fi Zeus amp. And we'd load up and drive down to the tunnel on Sunday nights. And I was a bouncer down at the tunnel on 27th and 12th Avenue for about a year and a half. And I was young, man. I was 17. Nobody knew it. They all thought I was an older cat because I just looked older. And that was a war zone.
That's what I was about to say. The tunnel, you know, tunnel back, especially back in the day, tunnel used to be having some drama going on like crazy.
Oh, man. Yes, indeed. The first thing I remember about the tunnel, the first night I worked, went upstairs. I was posted up near the stairs, and I happened to go up the stairs and, you know, took a left, and there was a bathroom back there. It was a co-ed bathroom. And on Sunday night, there were thousands of people in that club, and everybody packed the bathroom. And I'll never forget that scene of men and women in the same bathroom. And I said, what am I getting involved in? But that was being a bouncer. Then from there, the gentleman who owned the company, his name was Suge, he became the head of security for Loud Records. And that's where it started. We, you know, he would put me on tour with Exhibit. He was actually Pun's head of security. He was Pun's main bodyguard. And then we just started doing work from there, man. And it got real, real deep for a number of years. We were making six figures, you know, with no problem. No problem. It was a hustle.
Well, I can definitely see that, man. But, you know, that job comes with a lot of drama, man. Like, Nick, like, what was probably the most, other than, like, the, what you wrote about in the book, like, what could you say was your first time really experiencing some real serious drama that you thought it was going to go down in your experience?
We were out of the country with a client. Now, this was the first experience, other than fights, which I was used to. That was nothing. This was years later, after I went to protection school. We were out of the country with a celebrity. And it really went down to where I ended up getting shot and still had to do my job. You know, when I got shot, it dislocated my shoulder. But it was, I'm not dying out here in this, you know. I said, I don't know where I'm at for, you know, my family ain't coming to no funeral out here. And I said, Lord, get me out of here. And, of course, I had a job to do with getting a client out as well. So that was a real first test for me, and I knew I was well protected by the Lord from that day on, because there's no way we got out of there. The police were looking for us. It was a big media thing, and we got out of there just in time, because we would have been locked up over there. It wasn't even our fault. So that was the first real test for me. And I was about 20 years old when that happened.
Now, that job, man, it's like, you know, when you see sometimes how things go, especially in the hip-hop, you know, in the hip-hop, in the hip-hop and culture, like, it's like you go to with an artist or something to, like, an event like the Grammys or the Source Award or the BET Awards and something, get jump off. Like, you know, how do you prepare for that? Like, how do you be on guard all the time for that? How do you prepare?
The glamour part you really don't even look at, because you're there, you're getting paid. It's for the money. It's a hustle. But types of protection, there's the professionals, and there's what is called the buddy guards. The buddy guards are, you know, people that are big that a lot of these entertainers come up with, and they really don't pay them what they do. They're just a big dude from the neighborhood who have no training, no schooling, no permits, no licenses, and that they treat them just like that. They're just a big guy that they're with, and that's their buddy. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you have guys that have gone through protection school. You have guys that are military trained. You have guys that are licensed to do this. You know, for an award show, you go out there, you know, 2 days ahead of time to do the events. Just to give you an example, you know, you get out there, one of you guys or two of you guys go before the entertainer. You lay out in and out routes, closest law enforcement, closest medical. You get a tour of the building you're going to. You do the schematic work. You go out there and actually you're not just there walking through. You're writing up notes and plans. So if something goes wrong, your entire team knows how to react. You're in and out in a flash. That's the proper way to do it. You train for that. A lot of these people that get hemmed up and end up on the media carrying a gun, illegal or something like that, is from lack of preparation. It's from lack of experience. And a lot of entertainers catch the heat but more than likely it's their entourage that get into something, but the entertainers are the fall guys.
The fall guys, yeah, I can see that. Now, like, Nick, can you tell us some of the stars? Yeah, that, Russ.
I wanted to ask a question. The question that I want to ask you, are you licensed to carry in all 50 states?
Not all 50 states. There's actually, that's law enforcement. It's called the HR 218. You have to be current or retired law enforcement to get that. There's protection licenses where you can open carry, and you have to be licensed in order to be a protection specialist. So, you know, unless it's retired law enforcement, nobody's allowed to carry in all 50 states because Wisconsin doesn't issue weapons permits. Nobody can carry out there. I mean, not Wisconsin, okay. Illinois, my bad. Wisconsin okay. used to be what's called a blackout state, but, you know, you get guys that don't know what they're doing, don't do their research, and they get pinched. And, you know, we did things where one of us couldn't carry in the location we were going to. Ahead of time, we set up to meet with a different company that can carry out there, pay them their fee for the day or for the week or what have you. That way we were still covered.
Okay. Now, who are some of the people that you know, you bodyguard, you know, like some of the celebrities that you work for?
Just some. There's a lot. There's, you know, Pamela Anderson, Jennifer Lopez, Diddy, 50 Cent, Mobb Deep, Fat Joe, Big Pun. The list goes on and on. A lot of entertainers that were real high profile, we ended up doing their protection because we had a good name in the game. But unfortunately, you're also expendable. You're also expendable to a certain point. And I'm not saying any of those individual entertainers, but there were some clients that expected you to do things that were way above your call of duty, I guess you can say, but way above and beyond what you were expected to do. And I came to a resolution. I said, you know, I don't want to work for the people that rent the private jets. I want to work for the people that own the private jets and pay you your salary ahead of time. Because it became chasing money. And I said, okay. Not any of the people I previously named, but there were some clients that said, well, I got to pay you. You're here with me, you know, be my man. What? I'm here to feed my family. I'm not here to hang out. And it became that serious to where people were chasing money. We were always, you know, the invoice was $60,000-$70,000. That's not chump change.
That's big cake right there, boy.
And that would be just for the month. And you
okay.
got four guys that are working with you, and you know they got bills to pay and kids to feed, just like you do. And they're looking at you like, "Can I get my paper? You get it from them. Let me get it from you," kind of thing. And you know, I stepped out of the entertainment arena and got into the executive arena, and whole different ballgame.
Tell us some of the situations a bodyguard have to go through. Like, have you ever been approached on gun level? Were you ever had shots fired at you? Tell us some of the dangerous situations that a bodyguard goes through.
The protection arena, you're expected to go through that. That's why I say there's a difference between bodyguard and actual trained professionals. Trained professionals, we're taught to disarm situations first with your mouth and get the client out of there. And if that don't work, you got to go hands-on or you got to go weapons hot. You know, you just have to adjust the situation depending on what's going on. Have I been shot at? Yeah. Have I been shot? Yeah. I've been in a limousine that got wet up, over 200 bullets. And my job, throw the client on the floor, lay on top of them, and pray for the best. Because you're there for that. And they don't, you know, it ain't no special thank you. You don't get no extra money. You're there for that. So the situations, I can go on and on and on about what we, you know, we encountered or I encountered. You know, but a lot of times the worst place things happen, believe it or not, is in the airport. You know, you get tested in the airport because no one has any weapons. You've already gone through security clearance. Fans actually get real stupid in airports. And you better have a good hand game or some sort of training to keep the situation away from your client. And, you know, we have some real hairy situations at airports, which is unbelievable. But.
Now, you mentioned that. I know that you know you've been in a major shootout where the car got shot 200 times and yourself, you know, you got wounded in that situation, right? Am I correct?
Not that situation. I didn't get wounded in that situation, by the grace of God.
Okay.
I was wounded in two other situations. But that situation, it was like, you know, all I can say is the angels. I threw the client on the ground. I jumped on top of him in the limo, and something covered me because we did not get touched by nothing. We had glass on us. That was it. And that was a real hairy situation. Walked away from it without a scratch.
Now, other than, you know, doing bodyguard, you got a situation like a ministry or something like that with bikers and stuff like that. Can you explain that to us?
Yes, that's what I do. I've been doing that for the past few years. The protection thing, I really got away from that, other than protection for religious leaders, Christian pastors and such, I still do on occasion. But I really got into ministry a couple of years ago because I died on an operating table. And I didn't get the whole, you know, go into the light revelation. I didn't get all that. I got a question, and I never forget this question. You know, most of us dream. When we dream, we don't realize it. It's our own voice that we hear. We don't hear other people's voices. I dreamt a different voice asked me a question, and it was, how many made it because of you? And, you know, I was left for dead on that operating table. They stopped resuscitation. They went and told my wife and kids that I didn't make it. So the Lord brought me back for a purpose, for a purpose. I stopped living for myself back then. I now live to do the glory of God, for God's glory. And I had to ask myself, what am I good at? I've been riding dirt bikes and motorcycles since I was 4 years old. My dad was in a motorcycle club. He was an MC member when I grew up. So I just put two and two together, man, and we started a motorcycle ministry. And a lot of people don't know what a motorcycle ministry is. Most people don't know we exist. We attend regular MC events where we're in with the MCs. You know, there are different subtleties, but for the most part, we follow protocols, we show love and respect, and we ride. We get out there and ride. And, you know, it's a different situation from MCs, because we have to stay neutral and be able to be a blessing to everyone in that community. You know, we've done funerals, weddings, pray for down bikers, go visit down bikers and their families. And we're that conduit, if you will, to the Lord, because a lot of people don't go to church anymore, man, and it's sad. It really is. So we're in an arena where we bring the word to them and just try to be a lead by example.
Now, do you ever have run into situations where people might look at you with the bike and may not accept it with the word of God, like the traditional word of God, so-called?
We get that from, and I hate to say this, man, we get that from people who are too Christian sometimes. People who, you know, they're holier than thou. And I tell people, I said, you realize the Lord wore, you know, comfortable clothes and sandals? He didn't put a suit on and go hustle you for your money. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, he talks about give your money to the poor. He told the young rich man who had a question about how to be perfect and how to get into the kingdom, he told him, go give your money to the poor. Then you can follow me. He didn't say, Jesus never said, give me the money. So we get that, what you just described, from people who are, you know, holier than thou. We don't get that from the arena in which we serve, because they see us every day. We're bikers. We're part of that love and that protocol and that brotherhood and that respect. So we do get it, but not from my brothers. Not at all.
Now, let me ask you, do bikers now, since you started, have a lot of bikers now turn to God, like bikers that might not have been, you know what I'm saying, speaking the word? Have you seen that, like a brother come to you that wasn't, you know, but he was dealing with the bikes, did you relate it to him to make him come to the word of God?
Absolutely. And believe it or not, because we're very low-key and we're considered, like, in God's army, we're considered special forces. We're real low-key. Most people don't know we exist, and we're standing right next to you. And, you know, people look at our patch, our colors, which in our arena is called the patch, and they see we're different. And we've had people approach us like, listen, man, I don't want nobody else to know about this. Can I talk to you over here? And they'll be concerned about, you know, they've done some bad things in life and they know they're going to hell. And I said, nah, you're not going to hell. This is what it takes. And you know, it's a quick, simple prayer. Lead them on the road to salvation. You know, I'll give them my business card. Like, listen, all confidential. If you got questions, call me up. And believe it or not, a couple of them have popped up at some of our services, because we do microservices. And it's awesome to see that growth. You know, people are hurting. What's going on in society today, you know, it's so prevalent that there's a changing of the tides. And you being the DJ, you hear the music of today.
Yeah.
Compared to the Whispers.
Yeah.
The Gap Band. The Daz Band. You know, MTUME. You know, that's what I grew up listening to.
T.S. Monk and all that.
You got it. You got it. And then going to these award shows and sitting next to these people and seeing this and then hearing, you know, the shows live and then really catching what they're saying, you don't really get it until you sit back and say, what did they just say? And it's sad to see what's going on in society. You know, I work for politicians, top level dignitary politicians. And a lot of people don't realize, and if you're in their computer, when you get a chance, look this up. The Republican Party logo is the fat elephant, and it's got stars at the top of the elephant. Up until 2002, those stars were pointing up. Up until 2000. After 2000, it's an upside-down star, which is a satanic symbol. Why did they change the star? Why is that changed? Why is the stars at the 2008 Democratic Convention, Hillary Clinton speaking, the flag in the background, the stars are upside down? Those are hidden symbols. Those are hidden symbols for an agenda that's going on in the media. Not all. Some mainstream media are advertising outlets for what's going on. And unless you pay attention, you won't even see it.
And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because I want to ask you, being that, you know, they say Illuminati with a lot of rappers, like bodyguarding rappers and protecting rappers, like, you ever been in a situation where Illuminati approached one of your clients and while you were there, like an Illuminati type of situation, you know, the type of backroom meetings they would be saying or little situations that you always hear about?
I'll put it like this. It was me and my partner, right? Big dude. This dude's about 6'10". Big brother, cool brother. We brought a client to a meeting at a hotel. It was a big high-rise hotel. We brought the client in. It was a boardroom meeting. We brought them in, and there was a lot of people in suits. Now, we're hired protection for this individual's life, right? We're always right next to the client. They had us wait in the lobby while they went up for this meeting. It was a four-hour meeting. That's never happened before, and it never happened after that. And that person came out of that meeting completely different. And their career took off like a rocket. The brother that was with me, we still talk about that day. Like, what do you think was behind that door that we couldn't go to? We couldn't even get on the elevator. They're like, nah, stay here. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a public hotel. You get snatched on the elevator. They said, listen, you work for me. I'm telling you, stay here. And I said, there's something wrong with that. But we got to follow orders. We have to do what we have to do. That would be about the closest situation. But so after that.
Do you believe it's this?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say there's an agenda going on that doesn't sit right. You know, when we grew up, our generation grew up, it was, oh, if you play the record backwards, there's a satanic message in there. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't even have to play the record backwards. This they're telling you they sold their soul to the devil right on the records.
Well, right in the
song. There was an award show, an MTV award show, a rock band who was very popular, got on stage to accept their award and said they want to first and foremost thank Satan. The crowd clapped and cheered and went crazy. And I said, this is a public show. There's kids at home watching this. And they just did that. And it's been you know, prevalent ever since. Because how in the world can a sane person say they sold their soul to the devil for their fame and stardom and their money? And you got these young kids singing those songs and saying the same thing right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense. And not to be long-winded here or start no sermon, but, you know, media is advertising the seven deadly sins. And I'm going to tell everybody that's listening, next time you watch regular television that has commercials, let's say you're watching a show that's an hour long, I can almost guarantee the seven deadly sins will be broken during commercials of that show.
What are the seven deadly sins?
Seven deadly sins. Pride, envy. Now, pride falls under the category of vanity, which is beauty, right? So pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth, which is laziness. And this society is lazy, man. You know it. When we were kids, it was go outside and play.
Go outside and play, kick the can, ring the Levio.
There you
now
go.
Now,
when we were kids, it was you get outside, you play until the street lights come on. Don't come back in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Punishment was you can't go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
When did that flip? Because punishment today, get outside. Shut the TV off and go outside. You're grounded. Like, when did that happen? That's laziness. That's sloth. You know, it's times have changed to the point people don't know what side to pick. People are really lost because they're not following the status quo of society, and they feel like they don't fit in. And I tell people, if you don't fit in, it's because you were meant to stand out. You were meant to do something different. Don't be sheeple, like I say. A sheeple is a person that, you know, is getting fattened up for the slaughter. Mm. Because entitlements are not free. Welfare was never meant to be a career choice. You know, you're supposed to get out there, be worthy of your wages, you know, create your own business if that's your ambition, and do something different. But you sustain yourself and your family. You don't sit back and wait for the government entitlement to come in the check or on a debit card or whatever it may be. If you really need that assistance, that's different. But you don't rely on that as your only source of sustenance for the next 20 years because that's going to run out. Nothing in this world is free.
Now, the job you did was, like, dangerous. You have a family. You got a wife and kids. And, like,
right.
let's take, like, the situation that happened at the I think it was Busta Rhymes video shoot it was, when a person that was bodyguard got killed and stuff like that. How much toll does this job bring to you guys' family and life, and how does it affect, and how does you maintain keeping your wife happy when, you know, she knows any day you go outside, and depending on who you bodyguard, and especially, like, rappers, like, with a name like 50 Cent, you know, like, 50 Cent, a person expect, like, him to have drama, or certain rappers that you, you know, do. How does that, how do you keep your family calm under those circumstances?
When I was heavy in the game with entertainment, I wasn't married yet. So that was more, hey, I'm going out, going to make this money, going to have a good time. I'm just heading out. I ended up disappearing for about 2 weeks because I got arrested with 50 Cent, and it was two gun charges they hit me with, and I was facing 20 years imprisonment.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for the article hitting MTV News and all that, nobody knew where I was at. They, you know, it was a situation of, you're not supposed to be here. We're going to treat you like dirt, and we got a lot of questions for you. So I didn't get my phone call, nothing. It was, you going to party? I was in the Tombs at 100 Center Street. They throw you under there, nobody knows you're there. Nobody. And, you know, not that I was treated wrong, but, you know, I wasn't treated foul. It's just we're doing an investigation. It's going to take some time. If I was married during that time, I know my wife would have went crazy.
Mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, being I'm not in that entertainment side of it anymore. I'm on ministry. My wife's a Christian, and we pray all the time. You know, my children, I pray over them. I pray with them. It's a different arena. You brought up the Busta Rhymes video shoot. Now, I was not there. That, you know, the guy that was doing that security, his name was Iz. I knew
mm-hmm.
Iz from working at the Tunnel. A lot of people in the game got their start at the Tunnel. And Iz was a cool brother. Martial arts cat, light-skinned dude. He used to do flips in the club, in the Tunnel. And he was like a Bruce Lee type, real good martial artist. And then I don't know the details of how he got killed. I just know he took one to the chest, and he had no chance of living. And my partner in business was his cousin. This dude, Big Vic, is his cousin. They were, you know, blood related. And Vic, I haven't spoken to him in a long time, but he even went into, like, a depression after that. He lost his blood. He lost his family. But that's part of the game. It's, you know, you're expected to step up and do what you got to do to keep your client alive.
Because, you know, in the game, we lose a homie, man. Sometimes, you know, we want to go get revenge. Now that's your job. Did you ever find yourself fighting that? Like, if one of your comrades got hurt, you want to get revenge. But how do you face, oh, this is my job and this comes with the turf? How do you separate that?
I lost five real close people in this industry. Murdered. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
None of them were ever solved. Not one of them. You can stay bitter, you know, or you can pray for them and their family, and you really just got to hope for the best and pray for the best, because getting bitter starts a cycle of a whirlwind of disaster. You know, that's part of that seven deadly sins. That's anger.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrath. You know what I mean? And it has to stop at some point, you know. But I'll tell you like this. A person that's in the protection industry will do their best to protect their family. You know, around my house, there's cameras, motion sensors. You know, we got the dogs. We got everything. If you come in my yard within an acre of the house, I know you're there and you're on camera, and it's Wi-Fi cameras that go off-site and all kinds of bells and whistles go off. That's just because I was bred for that career. And the people I worked with back in the day, same situation. They get the apps, you know, it goes right to their phone, something's in their yard. You just live a different, you see things differently. But at the same time, you still grieve for the ones you've lost. It's a grieving process. But these are your blood. These are your family. You know?
Do you ever see, like, family members ever get uncomfortable? Because you're used to this. You're used to this, and this is how you bred. But sometimes other people might get worried to see all the protection. Have you ever been through that? Like, family members like, hey, what's all this?
Yeah, I've been called by my relatives, you know, my sisters and my mom and all that. They'll say, ah, he's just paranoid. No, it ain't paranoid. It's prepared. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm traveling, I know my kids are in the house. They're safe. The wife's safe. The alarm's on. The dogs are good. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. That's like a sense of comfort that I don't have mm-hmm. to really be too concerned about. They're even trained to a certain extent of what to do in case this, that, and the third happens. That's just how I prepared them.
Now, in your business, what would you say was the best dog to have, like, in your house? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to protect you. Because it's different breeds, but a lot of cats might see pit bulls or Rottweilers. What would you say?
There's two particular dogs that are the best security dogs in the world, in my opinion, and from professional dog trainers. First one is called a Cane Corso. It's an Italian Mastiff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The dog is bred for protection only. That's all they do. They ain't going to fetch the ball and do all that there. Those dogs are trained for protection. Second dog, and you got to have a big crib for this dog. A Cane Corso will grow full grown to about 120 pounds. That's a big dog. The mm-hmm. next dog I'm going to mention is a South African Mastiff called a Borbul. Say that again?
It's a Borbul.
African Borbul.
Yeah, yep, South African, that's right. South African
Okay.
Mastiff. Full grown, the dog's 200 pounds.
250.
Wow, that's big. I ain't never seen him that big.
That's
a big dog.
250. We want one of those dogs over here. An African Borbul. They don't get no diseases or none of that. They don't shed, none of that.
Nothing. Those dogs, the research of those dogs, they were bred to kill male lions in Africa. A Borbul against a lion, male, full grown, that dog is killing that lion.
Mm.
That's a bad dog.
Yeah.
But the trainability.
The mountain dog was supposed to be the best dog one time.
Nah,
I thought that's what you were
telling me. Up until, I want to say 98, don't quote me on that year, up until 98, I think it was illegal to have those dogs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
If that dog, now I've had pits, I've had all that, Rottweilers and all that. If a Borbul gets his mouth around the head of a pit bull, he'll squish it like a grape. That's how powerful that dog is.
Wow.
So
that's what's up.
Those dogs right there are something.
My man Drinks on Rust is getting ready to get one of them, too. That's why
he's
up to talk.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting one of them. They want like $2,500 right now for them, and I'll be like one of the first people in Harlem with them. But we got to go all the way to Kentucky to get the dog.
Now, there's a breeder up in Wingdale, New York, that has them. Wingdale, New York. Look that up.
Okay.
And they're purebreds, too. They're registered AKC and all that. They're very popular. It's a big ranch out there on top of a ski mountain. But a lot of people get them from there because those dogs are official. And people don't know what they are. They're so big. People look at that dog like, look at the arms in that thing. It looks like a human leg. That's how thick their paws are.
Okay, okay. Wow. I wanted to ask you a question. Out of everybody that you was doing the bodyguard for and you was guarding people, have you ever been starstruck? Like, have you ever seen an actress or actor that you wanted to meet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't call it starstruck. I would call it holy cow. Like, you know, and it was never like an entertainer in the religious arena. Mm-hmm. I met some real religious leaders that are responsible for leading millions of people to Christ. And I'm I want to say starstruck. I'm impressed when I meet those people because they're not doing it for their own agendas, if you will. They're doing it for an agenda of there's more to this life than what we see. So I've been real impressed to meet a gentleman. His name is Jesse Duplantis. I worked for him. And the anointing that's on that man and the fact that he lives like an entertainer, you know, his house is humongous, 40,000 square feet. He got his own private jet. He rides motorcycles. He's a real estate investment broker, so he makes his money there. But the fact that he's a great preacher changes things.
Okay.
Definitely.
Being that you into God like that, do you bodyguard anybody from like Hollywood preachers?
The preachers of Hollywood? No, I've never met none of them.
I want to ask, what do you think, you know, being that you got a little bit of the both worlds, the entertainment side and the ministry, how do you feel about them? Because they get criticized a lot. But one of those guys is similar to you, but he does things with tattoos, you know what I mean? And he is,
right.
And he's reaching people. So I want to get your take on how you feel about what they're doing.
To be honest, I never watched a show for more than 5 minutes.
Okay.
It was not my arena.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm not gonna judge. I'll never judge anybody, but that show just wasn't for me. However, there are millions of people that watch that show. Some may get their soul saved because of that show. So I can't really speak on it, but I know this. From what I heard, one got a wife and a girlfriend on the side and stuff like that. That may turn people away. Instead of turning people to the Lord.
Yeah.
But television, you know, especially reality television, is conflict and sex sells. So if you look at the majority reality shows that are, you know, successful, they have conflicts and they have sex in them. And that's what makes the show watchable. And that's just not my arena. I don't watch that show.
Would you say that the more of the hip hop clients are more harder to protect than like somebody like J Lo, would it be or Pamela Anderson?
Well, the hip hop clientele was more laid back. Now I carry my own bags, you know, or something along those lines. The more diva-style entertainer was, you know, hey, the dog went to the bathroom on the rug. Okay, get your maid to clean that up. I'm not doing it. You know, if you didn't set a precedent, then you were going to be used for everything. Go out there, water the grass, carry the bags, go to the store, get me a soda. Like, you know, they feel you're there, so they're going to use you as much as they can. That happened to me one client. It wasn't either of the two ladies you mentioned. One client did ask me, hey, do me a favor. You know, go to the store and pick this up. I said, I'm not here for that. And then,
can we
know,
get a name on one of these things, man? Because I understand you got a lot of clients. Can we get one name?
Bruh, that's what the book is for.
That's what
the book is for. You know, I can't, you know.
I actually wrote
two books. The first one is called Nomad, Darkness into Light. And that's a very short book. It's only, you know, 33 pages. And I had to cut a lot of that book out. It was originally 300 pages. And I said, you know what? People don't have time to read a book this thick. I said, the message I'm trying to get out is if you don't fit in, it's because you're meant to stand out. And the reason it's called Nomad, because a person that feels like they don't fit in and they go against society, you know, they end up roaming around. They end up getting out and trying to discover what else is out there. And that's why it's called Nomad, the definition. But you know, the book that details my testimony, the clients I've worked for, things I've really done, that's coming out. That should be out probably around summertime. And that one's a thicker book. That's a banger. That's something to, you know, really sit down, read. And I give a different perspective of what you see on camera compared to what you see behind the scenes. I'll give you one person. Pamela Anderson was a business genius. People remember her from Baywatch, blonde hair, you know, bikini, running around, all that kind of stuff. When they said cut on set, when the shoot was over, she was a business genius. Her brand was worth hundreds of millions because she created it. When they said action, she was that blonde, you know, silly acting actress. But behind the scenes, no, she was fierce. She was a fierce business person.
But she was one of the first people to ever put out a sex tape and got paid off of it. So I can believe you on that.
Yeah, she was something, bro. Now, I wasn't there for that. I was not there for that. You know, I'm not.
Have you had any Kardashians on your clients? Any Kardashians?
No. I got out of the game before that. I was already in ministry. Now, I still have a lot of friends that do protection work in that industry, and we talk on the phone, and they call me for guidance and, you know, questions and more spiritual enlightenment as well. And they're like, you know, Brother Tim, I can't believe what I just saw. And I'll tell them, like, man, just shake it off. You're only there for your paycheck. Keep your client alive. At the end of the day, go home and leave it be.
Can I ask you one question? Out of all the protection game, and they say that you did some protection work for people, but I hear that Donald Trump got the most, like, top-notch people in the game. Is that true or false?
That is absolutely true. His guys are – they're not – let me put it like this. His guys are so heavily trained. They all are military, paramilitary. They don't tell you what martial arts they've taken. They don't tell you where they trained. They don't tell you what country they're from. You cannot get within 10 feet of that man unless they want you to.
Yeah, because they say that he used green berets. I don't know how true it is, allegedly, but they say that he used green berets for protection.
He's got the money to do it.
He definitely do. Well, you know what, bro, man? If there's anything else, man, that we want to touch on that we ain't touched to the world right now that you want the world to know before we let you get up out of here, man, can you bless us with that?
Absolutely. You know, not just the book itself. The book is called Nomad Darkness into Light. It's on Amazon.com. But we are a nonprofit. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we take donations. We're different, though. We don't own a building. We have no expenses, no utilities. Our overhead is very, very minimal. But we do something called kids and catering trucks. What that is, we go into the inner cities and a lot of group homes, orphanages. Give you a real quick story. We did an event where we were at a park, and I noticed it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. It was during the vacation, summer vacation time, it was during the week, there was about 50 kids at this park at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I said, wow, they out there balling early. And we were doing something on the other side of the park, a motorcycle. We were setting up for another motorcycle event. And I noticed those kids were out there all day. Now it was about 2 o'clock. And I said, these kids have not eaten. They had nothing to drink. I said, let me go talk to, you know, one of these kids. So I went over to the basketball courts. Then they all came over. They were looking at the bikes and whatnot. And I said to them, like, you know, you guys been out here all day. They were from a group home, and they have to be out from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. They can't go back till 6. And they get breakfast, and they get dinner. And I said, you guys are out here all day in the summer hot like that. I jumped on the Hogs. Went downtown, found a bunch of catering truck guys, and some of them said no, some said yeah. And I said, how much for you to, you know, feed these kids, you know, a chicken wrap, a hamburger, a bottle of water, and a bag of chips. There's about 50 kids that need to eat. And they said, oh, you know, it's $10. I said, cool, meet me there in half an hour. I went to the bank, got the money out of my own personal account, and I said, this has to be done. So the catering guys went out there, fed the kids, you know, as much as they wanted. They gave them free Italian ice and stuff like that. So that's our mission. You know, the money we get from donations, we do kids and catering trucks because no kids should be hungry, man. No kids.
That's right.
That's what we're about. And our website is www.ministryride.com. And we do rides now to the major motorcycle events around the country. And the calendar's on that website. You can donate if you feel led to on that website. You could actually get the book right there on that website.
No doubt. Well, bro, man, you definitely enlightened us, man. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely impressed with a lot of stuff that went on today, man. I can't deny that. You know what I'm saying? And you definitely got my mind going. I appreciate you, man. We welcome you to the show. And we definitely like, you know, when you come through with your next book, we want to bring you here again. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have all your information on the website and all that, man. Can you
appreciate
tell everybody can follow you on Twitter and all that stuff like that?
Yeah, we're on Facebook under God Soldiers Motorcycle Ministry. And we're also on Twitter under God Soldiers, at God Soldiers. And, you know, I apologize. I'm not really on the social network because every, you know, free moment I get, I'm out there doing ministry and doing community events. But, you know, of course, I got to get on there. I got to catch up with the times. But, yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter under God Soldiers Motorcycle Ministry or our direct website, ministryride.com. The links are right on there.
No doubt. These Do Radio, man, we want to thank the brother Tim for coming through, for giving us the wisdom from the Book of the Word and definitely giving us a little light on another side of the entertainment game, man. It was definitely a great interview, man, and you definitely got our support and anything we could do, man. Send us some more information, man, so we could definitely be reading that out to people. Tell Dominique to kind of text it to me so I could definitely be reading it out to people so we can get some donations going to y'all because I believe that's a good cause.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me. Hey, man, when you get that South African border right there, I want to see some pictures of that puppy, man. Those dogs are unbelievable. Unbelievable. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man. And thank
God
you
bless, guys. And, you know, we'll be coming through New York, actually, on March 5th because we're riding down to Daytona Bike Week. So, you know, shout out to everybody that's coming down. And I would love to do something with you guys in the future, get you guys out there and show support for our events and things like that. And likewise, the love is mutual. Absolutely.
What's up? That's a date, right, man. Let's make it happen.
You got it, brother. God bless you guys, man. Okay. Take it easy and be safe.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
Once again, we want to thank the brother Tim for being on the show. That was some deep stuff, Bebo. You know what I'm saying? That was some deep stuff, my man. Russ, how you feel about
it?
And you
yes,
just found out that your dog is official. I know Diaper's proud of that.
Yeah. But I wonder because, you know, like, he had got us in trouble with 50 and everything. I didn't want to get deep in it. I wanted to know if, like, Adam Smurf was over there when he was with 50 and everything like that. Because, you know, like, he was with 50, like, in the when 50 career was, like, hot.
Yeah, when 50 was just starting.
He was 50 and everything. So I wanted to know if he was over there when Bangham Smurf was over there. If he were. But you know, it's all good, man. But what's going on, DJ Big Stu, man?
Nothing, man. Big shout out to Bangham Smurf. We definitely have Bangham Smurf on the show. He definitely be sending us love, Feed the Wolves. Shout out to Bangham Smurf and his crew, Feed the Wolves, man. Definitely had him there. Gave us, you know, his insight. But like you said, that was deep. He definitely was over there when Bangham Smurf was there. But everything is good, man. I think it was a good interview. He shot me by Pamela Anderson because, you know, a lot of people just think Pamela Anderson is just, you know, just with the Baywatch chick. You know what I'm saying?
And that was another question I wanted to ask him, but I'm glad I didn't ask him that neither. Yo, come on, man. Did you ever bodyguard Pamela Anderson when she was drunk, man? I know she had a titty hanging out of something, man. But I ain't wanna cross the line or nothing like that, man. I ain't wanna cross the line on him or nothing like that.
I thought you were asking about J Lo.
Hey, that was another thing. But see, he didn't really wanna say nothing. But when he said, yo, some of them be using you to make things, when they dog do the thing, they make
you. That was J-Lo
right
there.
That sounded like J-Lo. I wanted to say
something.
Sound
like J-Lo.
Like,
that sounded like J-Lo. If it's not J-Lo, then it might be Beyonce or somebody, you know?
Yeah. Shout out to my whole Connecticut crew, because he is from Bridgeport, Connecticut, man. Word. And next time he comes on the show, man, we got to get him to bless the show, too, man. We got to get him to bless the show, man. Word. Next time he comes on the show, man.
You need to go to one of those bike events, too, show our love, man, for the hungry kids, man. Definitely get out there, bring the radio station out there, and definitely show our love to the hungry kids out there, you know. We definitely go to the community.
That's right.
Me and my man, Drinks on Russ,
right.
We do it all day.
That's right.
We'd be up there.
You know, today is Monday.
Show up for things. Is that
yes? Huh?
Anyway, I would let them know that we'd be in Lincoln Projects with all the little things, Debo and his people be throwing up there for the kids. We'd be supporting that, and we'd be at the Showboat in East Harlem doing our thing over there with the kids. So, you know, that's just be roll with the brothers and helping them feed kids that's hungry. That just be another movement for the kids. You know what I mean?
Yep, it definitely would be. But, yo, this is Monday Night Madness. An exclusive interview. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all listen to Monday Night Madness. Stu, I don't know. Do we have callers or anything like that wanted to speak to him or anything like that, man? We have no callers that wanted to say anything.
Lines are just opening right now. We're just letting the lines open. So if people want to call in and make comments or say anything, you call in 914-338-1685. Call in if you want to speak to Russ, you know, because Russ like to take on questions and like to definitely – you know, Russ is here, man. If you want to holler at him and talk to him about something or give a shout-out to the show or give a shout-out to Russ, holler back, 914-338-1685. But we're in the building. What's the entertainment?
We could get into a little bit of stuff. You know, let's do a little bit of entertainment news. You want to do a little bit of entertainment news?
We can do whatever you want, bro. It's Monday Night Madness.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. No problem. I don't have a couple of things.
They're talking about the bird beef.
What?
You heard about the bird beef?
Say it one more time.
Did you hear about the big bird beef that's going on, that's going crazy over Twitter, and it's getting a little, you know, it started on television, and it's getting a little bit deep. You know, Nene and Kenya, they're getting a little mad. You know, Nene had created a game called Pillow Talk. That's what she said. It all started from Greg and I basically discussing our day and issues we had with each other. At the end of our day, once we got to bed at night, obviously this part is for adults, you know? Only with adult topics and adult context, she said. And she said that, you know, that built unity and started a conversation and events. You know, and debates between the couples and friends and even strangers, all guests that were invited knew in advance what the dress code was. They basically had the dudes had on pajamas or some sexy underwears, and the women basically had on lingerie. And she said what her intentions were, so everybody knew. She said, yes, questions were being asked that some were uncomfortable with. I did not write the questions, you know, she said, but I asked them. So blame me for that. I accept that. I even accept you saying I stirred the pot, but I can't take the blame from a controllable adults picking up their fists to fight. Everyone is responsible for their own actions. She basically said everyone is responsible for their own actions as well. How do you debate without controversy? I guess you don't. And she said, I don't want to rehash this conversation any more than I already have. You know, I already stated that Kenya charged out of her seat, and whether you could see it or not, she did. And she said, and I stand by that. I also said Christopher never touched her in an aggressive way. He was only trying to stop her from charging his wife. And she's basically said, and I stand by that. And I'm the first to tell you that a man should not never touch a woman aggressively, and he didn't. The rest of the ladies in the cast have spoken, so I rest my case. So she's basically, you know, and Kenya's mad, you know, because Kenya's like, yo, you know, you started this. And she did kind of start it, you know, like, I think she did kind of start it. Kenya went a little overboard. Christopher, he was just basically protecting his girl. And the thing is, he didn't even fight homeboy. The other dude, I'm just shocked about Apollo. I'm still trying to figure out why he was so mad. But it's claimed to be like Apollo got hit. But, you know, I think it's a little more with that. You know what I mean? Apollo got something hiding, man. He got something hiding. Apollo and this girl, they got something hiding, man.
Yeah.
T.I. and Tiny, they've been having some problems that's coming out in the public, and I don't know how true it is, but people has been, you know, T.I.'s been, you know, he texts her for posting her booty pics on Instagram. He flips on her one day, you know what I mean? And also, he's been seen lately not wearing his ring. You know, a lot of girls are saying he's not wearing his ring.
They might be going through a divorce, and if they go through a divorce, it's going to mess up for the reality show because, you know, they got their own reality show, Tiny and T.I. It's going to mess up for that. It's going to mess up for a couple of projects that they are working on together. Then she's going to be asking for half, like, child support and everything like that for the kids and stuff. So it might be somewhat true as a legend. It might be somewhat
true. I really don't want to work. I like that couple. I like that couple.
They was voted
like
one
them,
of the best couples of the year.
Yeah, I like them.
They was voted one of the best couples of the year. But on a lighter note, what about this? Let's talk about this because I put this up on my Facebook page and everything like that. Let's talk about the New York Knicks, man.
The New York
What's
Knicks.
What's going on? Because, yo, we know we from New York. Do you think your boy... The coach gonna get fired. My man Carmelo Anthony. Do you think he gonna break out on us? Do you think we should trade him? Stu, you're a basketball fan. You're a basketball head. Tell me what's going on with New York, man. What's going on with New York?
New York, man. I New York get players, but New York management is the management. Teams that rock, man, they got great management, great coaching, great players. New York has had a little of both. A little of these one thing at one time. You know, New York has never had all three, a great management team, a great coaching staff, and a great bunch of players all at the same time. They haven't. They had it the one year with Patrick Ewing. They had it back in the back days when Bernard King and all of them. But they had it like maybe the closest thing when they had Mark Jackson, Oakley and them. That was the closest thing they had. And that's when they had Isaiah and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? But and Pat Riley
But check this out, man. This is a lot of things going on, man. Because I watched the game last night with OKC. We got Carmelo shooting like crazy. He's like the black hole. He is just shooting like crazy.
That's what they brought him here for, people. Carmelo was doing that in Denver.
You right. But on the second hand, you're gonna blame it on the coach. Then I feel that he got crazy over there. And he's not letting crazy play. The Knicks just got throttled. You know who I call crazy? Your man Ron Artest, Metal World Peace. I call him crazy.
Yeah.
He got him over there. I understand he's a defense player, and he can't really score. But what's going on over there in New York, man? And then they're going to hold the coach responsible for what's going on over there, man? Do you think we should get rid of Carmelo? Do you think Carmelo going to sign with us? We don't have no first-round draft picks because we gave all that to Denver. What do you think we're going to do, man? It's 10 more days. It's like 9 more days. What today is the 10th? It's 8 more days before the trade deadline. What do you think we're going to do, man?
I think he wants to chip, man. You know, he's watching LeBron James. And It all depends on what he's thinking in his mind right now. If he's thinking, if he's looking at the coach, if he's looking at the management, if he's looking like everything is, you know, it's just like a job. You know what I'm saying? People, that's their job. If you at work and you like, man, the boss ain't buying supplies, this ain't going, I want to get a transfer to another, you know, another development, another station. You know, you want to get a transfer to another place. You know what I mean? Another location.
Yeah, and this year is a lot of free agents. This year is a lot of free agents. Dirk is a free agent. CP is a free agent. It's going to be a lot of free agents out there.
He came and played hard. Now, he came and played hard. One man can't take you to a championship. One man can't do it. Even though Zoe said Michael Jordan did it, but Michael Jordan also, he had Scottie Pippen.
He had a whole squad. He had
Paxson. He had B.J. Armstrong. You know what I'm saying? He had Horace Grant. You know what I'm saying? Well, one time he had Bill Cartwright, right? I think he even had Bill Cartwright rolling with him one time. And then they had Dennis Rodman rolling with them. So, you know, it's just, you know, it takes that player like Michael Jordan. He could be that player, but he needs them other role dudes. Now, the Knicks haven't had dudes like that because the Knicks are always digging up from the bottom. So everybody's looking to be a star. Even though Carmelo's a star, he made a lot of other dudes want to be a star, the J.R. Smiths and all that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of dudes, when they play with Carmelo, you get to see them and you get to see that. But, you know, when you knew you playing Michael Jordan and Scottie, they're the stars. If this is a Michael Jordan Scottie game, that's it. The rest of us is playing around them. Once the Knicks get their team to understand that, because look how Brooklyn just got here, and Brooklyn's like, bam.
Yeah, Brooklyn might make the playoffs before New York make the playoffs.
Exactly. And
New York
got to come
back. We got Stoudemire over there last night. They was over there. They was moving out my man, Gray, letting him dunk the ball. It's like, yo, you can't kick Stoudemire on his legs because, yo, anything dealing with his legs, he's going to be out the whole season. You understand what I'm saying? And, man, we got that other kid, Barnari or whoever we traded for Toronto to get that kid over here, man. We just messed up, man. We're going to do New York a favor and just stop talking about him. But on another note, man, what's going on, man, with football, man? We got this kid from Missouri, which is a college player, named Michael Sam. He's a football player. He just now came out and announced that, yo, he is gay. He's proud to say that he is gay and everything like that. And he came out and just now announced that. But then I see another report that he was on ESPN and everything like that. And he was saying that, his teammates knew about it and everything like that. But now I'm looking at a report that's saying that the quarterback and them, they accepted him as being gay, but they didn't accept him as being homosexual with homosexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand what that means. If he's gay, you know, it's the same thing. That don't make no sense. If he out, you know, how they don't, if they accept that he was gay, they accepted that. I don't know. That's just a weird one.
They probably had no other choice. I wouldn't even say no other choice. But, you know, Stu, we got to stay kind of light foot on this subject. But we're going to talk about it, Stu. I don't give a damn. We're going to talk about this. You understand what I'm saying? What do you think? Do you think K is the new black?
K is the new black.
Yeah. Is K is the new black? Because,
you
know,
the new black.
So many people is coming out the closet now that a lot of people don't expect to be in the closet. It's coming out the closet. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, like, I have people, because, you know, we interact on Facebook and everything like that. It's on Russ Haywood. I'm Russ Haywood up on Facebook. Drinks on Russ on Instagram and everything. And everybody talk and everything. And do you think that this one, I heard his career. He came out and said something about it. He's going like the fourth round in the draft pick. He ain't going like in the first round. He's going like in the fourth round. So he may make something like between, what, $250,000 to $500,000 or something like that, because he's going in the fourth round. Do you think he should have came out and said something about this? Do you think a team going to pick him up now, being that he came out and said something about this? Do you think they're going to
platform? It could work both ways,
you know,
man, because it could work both ways because nowadays teams are about making money, right? Teams
yes.
are about selling
yes.
tickets, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
all the controversy
like,
going on.
Meaning like
and
when,
he
Houston
actually,
got Yamin, when Houston got Yamin, they pulled in all of their community when they brought Yamin over there. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You think teams going to make money by picking him up now?
Let me tell you something, man. You know, there's a lot of gay men that watch basketball. There's a lot of gay women that watch basketball. That's one thing.
Yes.
Number two
yes.
is whatever team, if, you know, he's actually, you can't deny, he's actually the best player in college football. He's supposed to be
yes.
number one draft.
Yes, yes, he's
that,
good. We ain't going to say he's not good. He's good now.
So if you're not looking, if you're a real coach, that's just like, you know, now the gay thing is like with Jackie Robinson with playing baseball, you know. Now it's really the time for gay people to start breaking barriers with different things. They already won the marriage thing. You're going to see them coming out in sports. You're going to see them coming out in the business world. They already came out. You got Barney Franks, who's a senator, New York City senator. He's already a politician. They're already coming out now. There's a lot of few politicians. So he's going to break the barrier for the college player to come to the pros.
That's
and
right. That's
he
right.
kind of got an obligation to do that. You know what I mean? If he's representing
right.
gay and
lesbian, that's right.
And he's the face of them. So what round you come in, the team that picks him is going to make money because the gay community supports the biggest spenders and the richest people, and they run the industry. Let's keep it real. Many say that the gay community run the entertainment industry. Been
yes.
said by every
right.
rapper, everybody that's in the game, huh?
You're right, man.
So,
you're right.
But that
so
he'll be
knocking down barriers, man. Word up, man. Good luck to him. And he'll be knocking down barriers because which is true, man, this is what Jackie Robinson and all of them, even, yeah, I might get mad when I say it, even O.J. Simpson, we got to give it to him. They knock down barriers for people to come out to do the things that they do. So, yo, salute to him. Word.
Yep.
We're going to say salute to him, right?
This is the new day and time, and we got to be ready. If you ain't ready for the new day and time, then you're going to get left. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And
yep.
that's being said. And that's why you got the, like, when you see these Republicans, man, they fighting everything, these good old boys, and they lose them. They're trying on Obama. Cause, oh, I got to tell you something. Do you know they're trying to say Obama's smashing Beyonce? Did you hear that one?
You ain't even hear that one. No, I'm just joking. I'm
I
just
heard
joking,
that one.
But
I'm
you heard that?
You right now. I'm going to read it to
yeah.
you right now. In France, they trying to say that. So check it out. The French press is fired up, is all fired up with new rumors that the singer is having an affair with Barack Obama. The story has picked up, the story was picked up by France's second largest newspaper, Le Figaro, and appears to have originated in a radio interview with French paparazzo named Pascal Rostain. Obviously, he must have seen him. Heart attack averted, slamming the sensational claims of the French paparazzo. The Washington Post has no plans to publish the bombshell story about the alleged affair between President Barack Obama and Beyonce knows. The outlandish claim emerged in respect of the French newspaper Le Figaro, where the photographer Pascal Rostain, who was friends with the former French first lady Carla Bonini, promised it will go out tomorrow, Tuesday, February 11th, in the Washington Post. I can assure you the whole world we'll talk about it, right? You know, you know, at this time, the United in the United States, there's something big that is happening anyway. It's going out tomorrow in Washington Post. We cannot say that it is the gutter press, but he said we cannot say that it is the gutter press. A story about a alleged affair between President Barack Obama and Beyonce. I can assure you the world will be talking about it. We'll stay at it. We should not forget Marilyn Monroe, Monica Lewinsky. You can only be the president.
Oh, my God. You can't. Come on. Yo, if something like this was going on, Stu, you know who would be the first one to tell it? And when they tell it, I will believe it. Because if the Secret Service was to leak that out, then I would believe it. Because, you know, they owe the president a tattletale. Because remember when they got busted. So they owe the president a tattletale, B. I don't believe that, B. I don't believe that. You believe that?
I don't believe that, but you know they try to say you know the Republicans need anything, man. I'm gonna tell you, man, this world is crazy.
Yeah, they ain't gonna get on top, man.
Racism is at its worst, people. I mean, Russ, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's at its worst, man. In America, man, it's like, you know, they done try to do everything to this man, and I guess this is the next thing, but it's the same. But they dry stuff because they did it to Martin Luther King. You know what I'm saying? They did it to Malcolm X. This is what they do to black leaders. The first thing they do is try to say he's cheating on his wife or the wife is cheating. So the first time, now this is what they're doing. You know, they're going at Jay-Z and their friendship. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're always doing things with Beyonce and Jay-Z, Michelle and Obama. So they're going to definitely say that. Who are they going to say George Bush was sleeping with? You know, George Bush was the cokehead cowboy. You know what I mean? They don't want to talk about that. His movie said it. George Bush was coked up 85% of his time in office. George Bush was coked up all the time. His daughter started sniffing coke.
It's a legend, Stu. Let's not touch that, Stu.
Bush is a cokehead. No, Bush was sniffing coke. He wrote his own biography and said he was sniffing coke. He was the messed up son. He was the son that was messed up. They was planning for Jed to do all the stuff. He messed it up for Jed. Now, Jed, only reason why Jed is working now, that could work now, is because Jed is probably the only real official Republican that could get anywhere near Hillary Clinton.
Man, Jed is the one that caused some old nonsense out of Florida, man. We don't want to deal with Jed.
Yeah, but, you know, Jed got a Mexican wife. You know?
Okay.
Jed's there, Mexican wife, like a little bit. He doesn't really roll with the other Republicans, dudes, that's out there right now. He's a little more, you know, he's known. I'm not going to say he's a Bush. We all know he's a Bush, but he's known to be like, you know, the same, you know, like a little more lenient than the other Bushes. And he married a Mexican wife, so, you know, he would definitely be on some immigration reform, helping that out.
Okay.
His kids are half.
Okay, cool. Well, I got something for us, and then I'm going to go into one of my smoothies right after this. I got 10 celebrities that you did not know had Caribbean descent. Like you understand what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you knew that Nicki Minaj was from Trinidad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Megan Good?
She looked like she could be.
Oh, yeah. From Think Like a Man. You know, her mother, Jewish and African. You understand what I'm saying? And so that makes her kind of Creole. And her mother's father was a Cherokee Indian. And the father's mother was Puerto Rican, and her father was from Barbados. So she got some Caribbean descent in her. And, you know, Beyonce also got some Caribbean descent through her father, Matthew Knowles. They Bahamian. Mm. Bahamian. They Bahamian. You understand what I'm saying? Estelle. Remember the singer Estelle from London? How many I did right there, Stu? Keep counting how many I did. I just now did Beyonce. I did Megan Gooden. I did Nicki Minaj.
Like
that's
two.
Three right there, right? That's three right there,
yeah.
Right? Okay,
uh-huh.
Number four. You know the British songwriter Estelle?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Her mother and father is Guyanese.
Wow.
Whoever knew that? Okay, Heather One, a New York native. Veteran owned Mr. C. Whoever knew that he was Trinidadian. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Whoever knew that he was Trinidadian. Right? Okay, I got one more for you. How many was that right there, Stu? How many was that?
That's like two. Dude, that's like four.
That's four? Okay. Heather number five. Pepper from Salt and Pepper. Whoever knew that she was born in Kingston, Jamaica?
Well, she always said that.
And if
you remember Salt and Pepper from back in the day, Pepper always hung with a crew of Jamaican dudes back in
True.
The clubs, back in the days, back in, like, what was the Red Parrot and all those clubs back in the tunnels and back in the days. You know, Pepper was always with a crew of Jamaican dudes.
Okay.
So, yeah,
no
I can
problem.
See that.
Okay, what number is that, five or six?
Yeah.
What number was that, six or five?
That's five.
Okay, that's five. Okay, Busted. Mm-hmm. Did you ever knew that, you know, our girls from Scandal, Kerry Washington, have you ever known that she's a mixed race background from Jamaica and English and Scottish and a Native American? She also had family way back in the days that was African slaves in the Caribbean.
She played a good role back in the day, and she spoke real Spanish. She played a girl, actually, of a Spanish girl, Latin girl, in the movie Our Song. When she was young, she's about 13, 12 years old. Look up a movie called Our Song, and you're going to see a real young Kerry Washington, like 13, 14 years old. Still got the same face, but just looks mad younger. And she plays the role of a Hispanic girl. She doesn't even play a black girl. She plays a Spanish girl, speaking Spanish and everything.
See? Knowledge from my man DJ Big Stu kicking it. Okay, what about Tia and Samara, America's favorite twins? They reconnect with their mother's side of the family, and they're from Bahamas.
So I make say two brothers there too, right? Oh, they got two brothers, little smart guy.
Yeah.
The guy who played the smart guy and another brother. They got another brother that's in film right now.
Okay,
that's a big money family.
What's that? Number seven?
Number seven.
Okay, heaven one that took me by surprise. What about the lady, our famous producer for Love and Hip Hop, Mona Scott? She's Haitian.
Well, she looks like she's Haitian. She looks like that.
She's Haitian. Word. She's Haitian. I never knew that. Word. I never knew that.
I got one for you.
One more. Yeah.
All right, Gustavs, and I got one for you after you do your one more.
Go ahead. Do one.
Well, our co-host Drinks on Russ.
Yeah, my family's from Barbados. Okay, cool, no problem. But it ain't about me, it's about the story.
You're part of the story.
Our own Rihanna is from Barbados. Same hometown and everything, B word. But everyone that's
with Rihanna, didn't even know it. You probably knew it back then, man.
Yo, everyone that took me, Nia Long. Nia Long. Her parents was from Trinidad. Say it again. Belize.
She looked like she would be from Belize, but yeah, she looked like that. I could see, but Trinidad. I can go with that.
Yeah, but her family is from Trinidad. Word. Her family is from Trinidad, and whoever knew that your man Kimbo Slice was born in Nassau, Bahamas.
He looks like it. I can see that, Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice? straight animals.
We look like be up there chopping coconuts and beating dudes up, you know what I'm saying? Running up mountains and running. He's like, yeah, with the big beard. Yeah, he looking. Running, jogging.
Okay, cool.
You know,
no problem. And that was my 10 celebrity that you wouldn't believe has Caribbean descent. Were. And like I told you, Stu, we also going to be doing our little non-alcohol smoothies tonight. So we won't be saying no, please drink responsibly, because we're not doing an alcohol drink for the first drink up for the night. But I'm going to do the first drink up for the night. It's the 4 servings, and it's a banana berry smoothie, and have a recipe, and there you go. You need 4 cups of milk, 4 bananas, 12 strawberries, 4 teaspoons of vanilla yogurt, 4 teaspoons of honey. Combine all ingredients in a blender and blend until smooth. Serve in a glass, and that's it, right there. That's it, right there. Drink Stone Russ and Beach Stew Radio. That's how we gonna do this, right, Stu?
Hold up. I got something for you, man. I mean, you got another drink, right? You got more drinks?
Dad, you go first.
No, I want you to do your drinks first, because I got something really deep for you. I'm going to blow your mind with something.
Okay. Well, then the avocados is one of the hottest things, because, you know, everybody started eating avocados. You understand what I'm saying? I got a nice avocado energy smoothie, right? And this is for 4 serves. Hold on, let me get it up here. I just got this up, Stu. Okay, my computer, it didn't go out, but it went back to 1 serving where I wanted it for 4 serving. My apologies. But I got avocado energy smoothie with my age, 4 serving. It's 2 cups of ice, right? It's 8 still, diced and cubed avocado, 1 cup of maple syrup, 2 cups of milk. It takes 1 5-6 ounce can of sweet condensed milk. That's sweet condensed milk. An 8 ounce cup of vanilla flavor, 14 wheat powder. Combine all ingredients in a blender and stir until smooth. Serve. And Stu, what did you want to say? Go ahead.
Well, there's a new thing. I'm trying to find it now, but it was something deep. It was about the 10 rappers that they say are affecting people with AIDS. The 10 rappers that are out there that we might say. 10
rappers that affected people with AIDS.
That allegedly say these guys got AIDS and they're giving AIDS to people.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Okay, cool, no problem. Okay, no problem.
They said George Zimmerman, this dude George Zimmerman, man, I'm ready to, you know, they said back on.
Didn't they say the promoter's supposed to be dropping it or something like that? He's not going to.
Now they got a
no
new
more.
Promoter. George Zimmerman's celebrity boxing match at roughly canceled when the promoter pulled the plug yesterday is back on again. Promised to be a much bloodier event, according to the promoter who claims to have taken over the fight. An online streaming service called FilmOn.com says it secured the rights to George Zimmerman's fight after original promoter Damon Feldman pulled out because of threats made against his kids. FilmOn.com says it's going to give the public what it wants, blood. Tell us DMX is out as a challenger because much bigger names than DMX went in. So that's what they said. The owner of the film on Doc Pay said the fight will no longer be a celebrity boxing match. This is going to be like Fight Club, a very bloody event. Said, and it will happen March 15th. They said the fight will happen March 15th. Secret location, all profits will go to the Trayvon Martin Foundation. But TMZ had learned the re-resurrected fight has not yet been a done deal. We told Fillmore they're still negotiating with Feldman for the rights and nothing has been signed. Feldman withdrew from the fight yesterday after he said he was bombarded with threats. Once he said somebody's going to kill Damon Feldman's son. Feldman said somebody, one person, they're going to kill his son and ask him when he put, when they kill his son, when they put his son killer in the celebrity boxing match. And Feldman, he kind of changed his mind after that one, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what's going down, you know what I'm saying? What do you feel about that?
We shouldn't really waste our time talking about George Zimmerman. I don't care about him fighting no DMX. The man done killed somebody's child. You understand what I'm saying? And we talking about this man. Who cares? Heaven, what we can do. Listen, and it's real simple. It's real simple. If y'all want to fight George Zimmerman, when you see him, grab a camera, go online with it, and let everybody just see it live and let him just fight an ordinary guy from the block. I don't even want to hear no more about George Zimmerman. Who cares about this man? Really, who cares? Who cares about this man, George Zimmerman? And they want to promote this fight, and they want to get DMX. Of all people.
Well, they saying it ain't going to be DMX, not a new promoter. They saying it's not going to be DMX now. It's going to be somebody bigger than DMX. I'm going to tell you something, man. It need to be, if it is going to go down, it ain't going to be right us as a dude from prison. You know, a dude from prison whose son has got killed. You know what I'm saying? Because it's nobody that's going to, you know, I don't want to see nobody sell out Trayvon's death if they're going to do it. You know, I want to see somebody go and hurt him. Like, I want somebody that's going to go in there. The reason why I say DMX might be cool.
So you want the game to go.
I'd rather see Game, because I think Game will beat him up for real. I think DMX, you know, will try to get some money out of it. You know, I mean, DMX would do it, but I don't even know if DMX is in the greatest shape. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see DMX get hit with a punch and don't see a punch come from the blind side and take a, you know what I'm saying? DMX ain't really been fighting dudes too much in the industry. Game is always fighting, you know what I mean? But, you know, be honest with you, to be honest with you, I would like to see him fight like a wild dude from the hood, like real talk. Like, if it's going to be a fight, it should be a Trayvon Martin father fight.
That's another thing. If you want to see him fight, you understand what I'm saying? He can just drive around to any neighborhood and they got his neighborhood fighters. You understand what I'm saying? Where your man comes from.
I think the thing is he should fight Trayvon father.
Trayvon's father?
Huh? Kick that nigga ass and put him in the grave.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that on that note. If he was to fight somebody, let him fight Trayvon father. There it is.
It'd be a real fight. It'd be something that I know that they ain't going to be able to fix it. It'd be something that I know that Zimmerman is going to get hurt and it's going to be some justice done because Trayvon Farber going to let him have it. Anybody else other than that?
Right.
I mean, I'm going to tell
you about X.
X might sign a contract with them, go out and get high and lose it and do some crazy stuff to him, you know? He might fight X and get jumped by a bunch of Rough Riders on the stage. That's what I want to happen. Like, I want some chaos. If they're going to do this, we got to go there and make some chaos. Wherever it's at, that's why they say it's going to be a secret location, because wherever it's at, I think it got to be some chaos, man. I think it got to be some brothers wilding out. You know what I mean? Don't let this dude just feel like he's a celebrity. And just the fact that they try to do it like this, all right, y'all want to call a celebrity? We go to wild. Yeah, bring him in the ring. Bring him in the ring. Have enough people there, have the Nation of Islam there, have enough people there, just wild out, like just wild out, be the biggest thing that you ever seen, even bigger than Rodney King's verdict. You did?
Yeah, you're right. Right.
If you want to do it that way, you ask them for that. This is what you need to get out of that, and they'll never do no celebrity. And any promoter, man, you need to get tossed. The promoters that's saying this, I don't care how much money they get, they need to get tossed. You toss all these dudes, man. He's giving this dude, making this dude feel like a celebrity. Obviously, he's broke and he needs some more money. That's why he's going to do this.
Yeah.
This is the same dude
so
that
why don't we just leave this broke ass with his broke ass alone, guys? Come aside.
You know what I'm saying? You know, this is one dude that felt like, if you remember not too long ago, he felt like his life was threatened. And he didn't want to be in public, had to wear a bulletproof vest. Now you want to come be on a celebrity fight. You want to try to come to TV. Because somebody probably told him that, some dumb person, prejudiced person in Florida told him, yo, you're a celebrity now. You need to do. They made it try to look like he did to put a stand your ground law. He's only a celebrity in the eyes of them. But what he's doing is going to get a lot of people that stand by that gun law hurt. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm telling you, man, every dog has his day, man. Every dog has his day, man. Karma is the worst thing in the world. Karma is definitely going to come back to George Zimmerman. And I guarantee you, man. Somebody's going to, and it might not even be a black person. You know what I mean? I'm going to be real with you. George Zimmerman do so much dumb stuff, he might get hurt by a white person. Beating up a woman or something, and her brother or somebody or something going to jump in.
Yeah, I hear you.
Time to play some music, Gus. You want to do another drink before we play some music, man? Give us some nonstop 50 minutes, nonstop.
You're going to play some music. All
right. Once again, it's your man, DJ Big Stu. Me and my man, Drinks on Russ, is in the building. This is Monday Madness. Big shout-out to Brother Tim, who was on the show earlier today, celebrity bodyguard, definitely doing his thing. But we're going to get into some music, and we're going to come right back, man. Once again, it's Big Stu Radio. This is how we do it, Monday Madness. Stay tuned.
They got the streets on lock.
The streets on lock.
It's the Block Club DJs.
We're about to clown. We all
Club DJ.
Okay, okay, okay. Told her bust it open. She said okay. But what she wear? Chanel and Dolce. How she want it? Beat up like okay. Skirt, skirt on the skirt on the skirt. How much time do you got for a wristband? Need action, I'm relaxing, and them know some nasty, so shaking them by the legs on his dick like a fracture. Right, right left, hit it with that right left. I got that best stroker, I don't need no mic check. My dick work, girl, I don't need no mic check, no panties on. I can see your dick through that white shirt. I ain't tripping, baby girl, make that money. Cause if I fuck her right, she just might get some tummy and bet it, yeah. Call on me for better sex, I know all the right spots to keep that, keep that wet.
Girl, well, you know you look fine as hell. I'm a Pisces, she's a Taurus. She said she's expensive, well, I could afford it. Never paid for it, but I could explore it. Had your tongue out and legs cocked up, I'm like Jordan. She just wanna trip and make a million, right? She can get rich and feed the children, right? She ain't got no cash up there, real. Gotta check it in with me like a woman's pill. I hate makeup, I hate rope. I can't talk to you, I ain't social. What a bad woman at? Let me know though. I can send it your way, baby, post up.
It's a great name, I'm Aisha.
Where the ghetto women at? Quisha and Saida. She dances for them dollars, cause she don't know no better. She from the hood, cause she know how to throw them back.
You know I buy you that Chanel. You know I fuck you like a fresh shot girl. And if you cheat it on me, I'm gonna get it right. Left, left, right, left, left, right, left, left, right. Now let me see you let that slow, hang up, left, right, left, left, right.
Drop it on me, do it like that, and girl, you in the league, you finna win me, yeah, you keep moving like that. Drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, huh?
They all know me, two braids each side on me, everybody in the town my homie. But the way you get it, you my only. Gotta get horn at a ride. She like a child, keep her in my side. I rock that thing like a lullaby. She Malone, no cosign. Get it, if not, it's all good. I like a girl, straight from the hood. I made that thing, she misunderstood. No question about it, I know I would. Mommy, it's made for a hula hoop. She on the knife and hits the lie, they tell the truth. What she did, look what the booty do.
She gon' drop it on me, drop it on me, do it like that, and girl, you in the league, you finna win me, yeah, you keep moving like that. Drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, drop it for a real nigga, huh?
Hold on, grab tight, hips like handlebars and motorbikes. She alright, she cool, I seen better, nigga who? Say
mic, I play that role. It's my joystick, so I'm in control. Hit her with that D, make her offense flow. Best offense is your D, now she know, right? That stank don't it? She act like she don't, but that cat want it. Got a man yelling, I be dog on it. He mad cause it's see the dog on it. It is what it is. Got a one and a jizz. Mommy got a taste for the kids. I ain't judging the biz. Now he know it ain't his. Scratch him off the list. I'm moving on it. On me.
Drop it on me, do it like that. And girl, you in the league. You finna win me, yeah. You keep moving like that. Drop it for a real nigga. Drop it for a real nigga. Drop it for a real. Drop it for a real nigga. Drop it for a real nigga. Drop it for a real nigga. Huh?
Baby, what's my name? Baby, what's my name?
What's my name?
Now you laying with a what I'm thinking that he got it.
They got it.
Take it in my wallet. And here's what I whisper to the pilot. Taking in the privates. My features looking Slavic. In a turquoise sidekick. Tongue in my side chick. Dominican, know she a fly chick. I never got used to a climate.
Never.
I never got used to a wardrobe.
Never.
I never got used to a bracelet. Precious paintings on this wall. Andy Warhol. Like the cocoa. Cause when I hop out of that photo, these be taking my photo.
Yeah.
My name's got no money. It's cool cause he's my daddy. Bringing in the paper like I made up in the caddy. Hopped up on my whip, wearing Balenciaga. Margiela on the widget, put her somewhere in Prada.
Club DJ. DJ.
She on dirt front, she love attention. Thirsty niggas always in the south. She hold up that sign to let a nigga know. She don't do broke, rich niggas new coats. She just make a phone call and get some new dough. Bitch nigga, that's new clothes. Sneak in the girl dorm, hide in the clothes. She from the 17, you know I'm in the dough. Work out booty, yeah, they ain't nothing silicone. Give her the vitamins, but she don't give me no rose. All my niggas stepping, rapping fraternities. All my girls stepping, rapping sororities.
Like the drummer, man. Where it's at? The smart boys and turn up, man. Put it to the party, got a crank and I'm a smart boy, bitch. I'm in the money making and I need a gold trophy. How I be playing this? Nigga, I ain't the faker, bitch. Keep my chain swinging, bitch. You ain't tryna bone you in the friend zone. I'ma get gon' spread and leave your right gone. And my people gonna be to the front. Security ain't gonna do shit when I let my blunt. I be sipping bubbly in. All these bitches let me in. I hit it from the back, get for booty champion. One rule, you gotta fuck before you fuck me in. I'm a star, bitch, you lucky if you fuckin' me. It's what's that means, nigga, we'll be groovy, bitch. Get Wayne Gretzky if you with the boozy shit.
Everybody say, hella bad, yeah. You the one they never had, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the problems you done had, yeah. Leave them broke niggas in the past, yeah. Oh, yeah. Girl, you had good, but I could give you better. I'll have you thinking about forever. I'm like, say, oh, nah, nah, nah. Oh,
look what you done started.
Look what you done started.
Oh, nah, nah.
Total chaos. Two train. Come to hurt up them brain.
I came from the slum of the ghetto. Where gangsters don't tolerate snitch. I came from the slum of the ghetto.
If a nigga know me, then a nigga know this. She suck a nigga, fuck a nigga, make a nigga rich. Ain't into to a nigga from the hood. If you really, really good, all you gotta do is be consistent. Two pistol gang, two pinky rings from Memphis Z. I get head like a guillotine. Rapping like on switching lanes. Hop over the whip on yelling, look what I got. Gunshot, sip a nigga, try to took what I got. Louis Vuitton bag on while I sit in the cup. I keep it wood, nigga.
Alcoholics, I came from the hood, straight about the project. Now I swear through them foreign objects. Fuck a nigga hating cause a nigga get money. They say they gon' rob and never do shit to me. Nah, y'all niggas never did shit for me. That's why we stuntin', why y'all niggas look bummy. And ho, I whip from crumbs to bricks. Big 4-5, I dome your shit. Hot iron on me, I comb your wicks. And fuck that ho, I don't want your bitch. And getting this money's my new religion. So y'all niggas know how I'm truly living. When I hop about a Benz, be a bitch to business. Like ho, you can kiss my true religion.
Goons and behind the gun them. Feds are come ready to outrun them. Informer ready for done them. Stone cold are ready for stun them. Green them make a find debug them. They must sell out nobody no love them. Pass the rifle make a shoot the dub them. No matter what we have to rise above them. Division all over the place. Power struggle man sleep on the pace. In the streets of pure hungry face. It make me feel like mash up the place. Some big man now hold a harder. Send the youths to go dead on the border. No pick the left without father. Money make them a fight for another. Banana, banana.
be a gangster, no tolerate snitch. I came from the slum and the ghetto, where everybody want to get rich. I came from the slum and the ghetto, where helicopters are flying down on pitch. I came from the slum and the ghetto. Violate to get treated like bitch.
Man born and bred in the streets.
Swat cheek, oh honey.
Kirko.
When I think about you, I think hope. When I dream about you, I think hope. It only took me some hours to hit, I think hope. When I see you with my niggas,
they got
the
streets on the streets.
Different when you get your chick, I think hope. Went through it for your homie, do it for your bitch, hope. These hoes only fucking with a nigga with them figures. You ain't got it, them bitches ain't fucking with you. Stop saving these hoes, fuck these bitches. Stop bringing them around a real nigga. Cause a hoe gon' be a hoe and a bitch gon' be a bitch. Don't put your dick up in a hoe that make you money. And these hoes fucking different niggas every night, but she still be up in church every Sunday. So bitch, tell the DJ play my shit, and tell your homegirls to get with it. Don't be ashamed to be a hoe if you a hoe, to let them know you're getting money and they need to fuck with it.
Bang.
When I think about you, I think hope.
I think hope.
When I dream about you, I think hope.
It only took
me some hours to hit, I think hope. When I see you with my niggas, cause I think hope.
I am.
When you pull up in your whip, I think hope. Different when you get your chest, I think hope. Went do it for your homie, do it for your bitch, hope.
I am. I wake up in the morning, I think dope. Bad bitch, follow all the rap niggas, she a hoe. Got 100,000 likes and a million some followers. I'm a street nigga, I'm just tryna get my dollars up. Kirko, Bangs and my nigga YG. Yo, got it, kill nigga, ask your hoe about me. Real nigga shit. Don't do that, get your feeling hurt. On a red bitch in a miniskirt. Chanel boots,
Chanel boots,
lean purse. Shorty not a stripper, bucket, make it twerk. Think about me, you think bread. And when I think about you, I think hit.
When I think about you, I think hope. When I dream about you, I think hope. It only took me some hours to hit, I think hope. When I see you with my niggas, cause I think hope. When you pull up in your whip, I think hope. Act different when you get your chest, I think hope. Went do it for your homie, do it for your bitch, hope. These hoes gon' be hoes. You cuffin' and lovin' her, but she fuckin' on the low. And I'm like, damn,
damn.
Bitch, what you sayin'?
What you say?
Oh, you know you got a man. But she gon' fuck all the niggas that all the bitches is fuckin'. And she gon' post all them pictures that she don't look like in public. She gon' be in the club, bottles poppin', she boppin'. When the sparkles start comin', bitches start table hoppin'. And I'm like, every other city we go. Every other video, there she go. I see the same dusty asshole. I see the same hoes. When I think about you, I think hope. When I dream about you, I think hope. It only took me some hours to hit, I think hope. When I see you with my niggas, cause I think hope. When you pull up in your whip, I think hope. Act different when you get your chest, I think hope. Went do it for your homie, do it for your bitch, hope.
Block
DJ. You know how to take it to the club. I see you over there winning. Girl, this could be more than just a crush. Cause I love the way you do it. Let's go. Baby, take it to the floor. Thinking I might be catching feelings with the way that you're moving. Make it jump. Girl, you know what I want. And baby girl, I can't fight. I'm in love. DJ, all up on the track, biggity running like a relay. Baby, it's a rap, biggity niggity wiggity sing the song. You know that.
baby, you can make it.
Jump, jump.
Go miggity make it.
Jump, jump.
She stay turned up, but she keep the booty.
Real life player, looking for that girl in here that look like Drea. Used to like Keisha, now it's Kay Michelle. Now I'm looking for a ghetto girl with red hair. I got a thing for Evelyn, call me Miss Lozada. And I just seen a girl in here that look like her daughter. And I'ma spin these G's on her, promise I won't beat her. Sing like R. Kelly, but I promise I won't pee.
Hey, wow.
I'm the miggity miggity mac daddy, I'm back at it. These miggity miggity mathematics, got boys mad at. Got figures, I'm getting that dope, strippers is in that boat. Nicki Minaj just called and said she gon' make it jump when I hit that dope.
I'm from Sage, do it like that. I'm calling your name, girl, look back. I see ya, now baby, I need ya to do it. Go ahead and make the booty jump. Turned up and she keeps the booty.
I heard you good off them other dudes. The attitude, you ain't satisfied and without a dose. Huh? And I ain't tryna battle you, but I guarantee out of you. He a dog like a Malamute. I mean no harm, but I see your X-Man wasn't talking healthy linguist. He flow me and below heartbreakers, but I can see no bad intentions. It's foreign. This situation's pre-op. Sorry if I'm talking like it's good. R.I.P. Trayvon Martin, we both from the hood. I see you looking from afar, so I think I should tell you that love is free. Do not give it for the
truth. I'm stage, do it like that. I'm calling your name, girl, look back. I see ya. Now, baby, I need ya to do it. Go ahead and make the booty jump. Baby, go make the booty jump. Make it.
Jump, jump.
Baby, you can make it.
Jump, jump.
Go miggity make it.
Jump, jump.
She stay turned up and she keeps the booty.
Jumping, jumping.
It's an EXO crowd creation.
Block, block, club, DJ.
Nobody, nobody, nobody to have a good time when she's dancing alone. Nobody, nobody, nobody to have a good time.
feel so high, like I'm on a la la la. About to touch the sky, she's on another level. Pull all that chicken, it can touch her and she knows she knows.
I like how you do that. Don't do that. I like how you do that.
When she's dancing alone.
You do that. Don't do that.
Game over, got my suit on, I'm back to business. The club life, I played it light, but now I'm back up in this. Popping champagne like the day was my wedding. Skip the ceremony, straight to the reception. Loyalty over deception, no exceptions. All the shit that I done been through, I'm alive and that's a blessing. And my girl calling me reckless, I hardly answer the phone. She's so aggressive when she texting, like I'm cheating on the low. But I'm too focused on this cash to meet new bitches on the road. I'm too focused trying to cop that mega mansion off the coast. I must admit, when I got downtime, I'm strip clubbing. Niggas mad I made it, that's the vibe that I be getting from them. Front row at the game, next to Spike, I'm two seats from them. Thinking back to when I used to watch this on ESPN. Now I sit next to Mogul's and vibe like we homies from junior high. Mama, look your son, he got it, whatever that you decide. And my uncle, man, I love that nigga, cause he was there to grab my hand when I was drowning, nigga. Your friends ain't helping you for shit, but you around them niggas. True statement, took that advice, got some scissors, started alterating. Shit is good now. Look at how I'm living, ignoring all the limits. My champagne don't need no cup, we pour it on the women. Get it how you get it, from the bottom, don't forget it. They can hate the game, but not the player. This was long overdue. Yeah, this was long overdue. This was long overdue. Shit was long overdue. This was long overdue, but now I got it. I'm trying to triple my profit. I don't hesitate, nigga, I cop it. This was long overdue. Long overdue. They say that patience is a virtue, and it's sad when those you think that's loyal turn around and hurt you. I'm up, nigga, fuck a curfew, no sleep, I'm on that no dose. Perseverance, I persevered for my old goals. Didn't sell in this promise, far as the parents
go. Yeah, we in the building. DJ Big Stu, Hinshaw Russ, we in the building. Big Stu Radio once again. Yo, Russ, I got something to tell you right now. That's what I got. You heard about the coke and dill disease, man? You heard about coke and dill disease?
No.
Crocodile. It's a disease that it usually gets caught by people that be trying to make homemade drugs, man. It's been in Russia for a while. A lot of Russian guys have caught it. They just said it's by the Arizona, it's in Mexico, a Mexican person caught it, but in between the Mexican border and the Arizona border, Mexican public health officials in the northern state of Sonora have confirmed the first case of crocodile in the city of New Angeles, which borders Arizona. In January, Leticia Amprino Gomez, the state director of mental health, said an adult man who sought medical attention at a public clinic came in with a skin liaison associated with intravenous use of crocodile. The Mexican magazine reported. Crocodile, which was first used in Russia, is made by cooking crushed pills with household chemicals like paint thinner. The homemade drug contains impurities that damage the user's circulatory system and leaving scaly green scabs and causing flesh rot to, causing the flesh to rot off the bones. Some experts believe the widely reported spread of cocodil in the United States is overstated. They claim that injuries associated with the drugs are actually caused by dirty needles. That's what they say, by dirty needles. Gamez said the patient is in question of using crystal meth, cocaine, and her heroin, according to Mexican news websites. In an interview with the Proceso last December, Jacob Fox Uzuna, director of the Center of Youth Interrogation and Integration Matter in Sona, said the border cities like Nuales were high risk for the drug because the high incidence of intravenous drug use over there. You know what I'm saying? And last year, young people in the border states of the United States began using synthetic marijuana and bath salts. And in a few months, we began to see teens in Mexican states and, you know, doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? He told the magazine. He said the same thing could happen with the crocodile. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. In November, 17-year-old was treated in Puerto Vallarta after she claimed to have injected crocodile into her genitals. In January, the Mexico health official said that the girl was in Houston, Texas, was a Houston, Texas resident who sought medical attention while visiting Mexican relatives.
Why are people injecting themselves with homemade chemicals?
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's you know.
Just listen to me.
Well, all right, here goes the reason why they do it. According to experts, the reason why the drug has taken on because the drug is cheaper to buy. The drug is expensive to make, but you can make it with a lot of homemade remedies. But it's actually cheaper to buy some heroin. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to get the codeine that goes in it, and it's cheaper to buy heroin. So they say.
So they making up drugs, too. They're already out there in Arizona, and they can get all the weed that they probably want to get out there. They just want to take it to the next level. Them people is crazy out there.
You know, like them kids that buy the weed, that fake weed that be in the stores. That's stupid. The ones that be in a little bottle and little packs. They smoke an incense.
That's incense.
You know, like incense, like frankenstones and all that, like incense. You know the fake weed that be in the store that the grocery stores sell now. Well, that they was selling for a little while, but they stopped. You ever seen it? Have you ever ran by it?
That's like little crazy.
Yeah, it's like little fake weed. You buy it in a little bottle, or they got in a little pack, and you buy it, and it looks like weed. The dude's like, yo, it's just weed, man. But it's like, you know, it's like some juice. You know, I'd be like, dog, that's incense. It tells you. And the funny part on the bag, kids don't even read it. It says don't smoke. It says don't inhale in your system. Not use it as a tea. Or a smoking drug, and niggas and dudes smoking.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was being sold like 2-3 years ago. It was, you know, you were seeing kids buy. I forget what they call it, man. I watched my girl cousin actually come to the crib one day and bag it up. Like he's gonna go. I'm looking at him like, yo, what's this dude doing? First he's just bagging up in my house, you know. Then I'm looking at them and I'm checking them out and I see it's synthetic weed. And he's bagging it up and he's going outside and he's selling it like the regular joint. Cost like $10 for a big bottle. He had like 2 big bottles. He probably made maybe about a $40-$50 profit when he looked at it.
Wow.
He smoked one and tried to pass it to me. I was like, dude, I'm not messing with that. I smoke real reefer. My weed comes with weed. I smoke medication weed. I got a card for my weed.
That's crazy, Stu. Well,
what's going on in the world today? And you should see how it looks when it does to you people. The picture it actually shows a dude with a hand, or like a dude, his hand looked like it's a bunch of powders put on his hand, and it's green powder. It looked like it's green powder on his hand, but it's actually his skin, and it got nothing but big holes in it that you can see his bones. Mm. Oh, man. Well, you know, just letting all y'all know, we got a couple of guests that'll be in this week. We're working on some joints, man. We got a lot of guests. I don't have the confirmations right yet, but I'm looking at the joint. Russ, we're going to have a full schedule this week, man.
Okay. No problem.
So what's going on with you, man? Anything to say before we... Tally over,
okay.
Tally over.
I was supposed to go to a comedy show tonight, but I ain't go. I was supposed to go to, they had new comics there, two new comics that was coming through tonight, too. But I ain't go, but I'm going to go probably next week, Monday.
All right.
There's Smokey joint. You know, Smokey, the comedian, be doing over there at Mocha Lounge. Over there on 19th Street and 8th Avenue.
Yeah,
I was gonna go over there tonight. I could still go, but I don't think I'm gonna go.
Well,
I'm
gonna
go.
Well, anyway, Russ.
Tomorrow, alternate side of the street parking starts tomorrow. I got to go dig the car out. I ain't never go dig the car out.
Wow. Let me tell you, get you some cat litter. A lot of cats don't know. Once you dig it out, you know how your tire be spinning out? Put some cat litter there, man. You be good. Go buy cat litter for it, right? Yeah.
Okay, cool, no problem. Well, dude, I might get the second stuff figured out tomorrow. They the one that blocked me in there. I'm going to get sanitation to help me get it out. They the one that blocked me in there.
Oh, don't you
I'm
hate that?
I'm parked in a corner, and they blocked me in.
They just make big power clean streets. They don't care about what's on the side.
We'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m.
No doubt. I ain't got to dig my cars, Russ. I was just telling you that my joint is parked in the garage.
I hear you. I got my car parked on the street.
Once again, man, it's Drinks on Russ, DJ Big Stu. We had a great night. We definitely want to thank Brother Tim for coming through the building, Celebrity Bodyguard. We Beef Stu Radio, we for the stars. We always got a guest on the house. Tune in tomorrow night to see who we're going to have coming through. We always got somebody coming through. We always got the hottest drinks. We always got the info. We always got the news, and we damn sure play the hottest up-and-coming new music from new hip-hop and R&B artists. So this is what we're doing on this note, man. I'm going to say goodnight. What you got to say, brother, man?
That's right. That's all I got to say. Goodnight.
As y'all can see, them drinks are kicking in. But goodnight. Let's do it.
Nigga, I don't fuck with 12. I don't fuck niggas that go to hell. Well, wait, my brother beat his fucking case. No time, I break all your fucking face. Say that, lost all our fucking plates. We grind, nigga, come and get a plate.
Beats, shoot.